People that use a word to attack fundamentalists. And I guess by using that word, they think they're going to put you down and make you afraid to be a fundamentalist. And when I say a fundamentalist, I simply mean a Bible believer that goes by and lives by the Bible as the truth of God. And that word, yell it out, what is that word?
Legalist.
How many have ever been called a legalist? All right. Well, let me just tell you tonight, I have too. Those are words for the birds. And we have been laying a foundation of why they're words for the birds. And we said it's very clear if you read the Bible, Acts chapter 15, verse 1, it tells you what a legalist is. It's somebody, narrowly speaking, who believes that you're saved with faith in Jesus Christ, plus the works of the law, and especially the ceremonies of the Mosaic Law. And that is a person that says you cannot be saved unless you have faith, plus you do these works, and then they go together to get you saved. Now, the Roman Catholic Church, yes, they are legalists. The Roman Catholic Church believe that, you know, you get born again by baptism, and then you feed it by the Eucharist, and you receive a little more grace with the sacraments as provided it's from a priest, and then with that grace that you receive, you live a good life, and as you live a good life, God looks down, and somewhere along the line, he says, okay, I pronounce you just. I pronounce you righteous. Well, it's faith plus works. That's legalism. That's Catholicism. But that is not fundamentalism. We believe we're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so to call you a legalist, that is words for the birds. Now, we have proven that the moral law of God is simply an expression of the unchangeable attributes of God. He says in the Bible, in Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. And God's moral law is recorded in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's a reflection of who he is. He does not change, and neither does his moral law change. And now there is the ceremonies of the law, the ordinances of the law, and they were temporary as a shadow that were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And they were given to be an abomination to the Jews, and they were to show the Jews were separate people, but they themselves were temporary. But the moral law of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament does not change. Now, we're not saved by keeping that moral law, but once we are saved, according to Romans 8, verse 3, the righteousness of the law of God is fulfilled in us. How? Because we walk now after the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's the one that caused the Word of God to be written. The Holy Spirit is the one that filled the writers of the Bible to write the Bible. And now, if you are walking in the Spirit and you are led by the Spirit, which way are you going to be led? You're going to be led to fulfill the moral law of God, which is in the Bible. That's why we can say, oh, how I love thy law. I love thy law. And you can read Psalm 119 with understanding and read that's what you're talking about. And and we've taught, last time we taught that things are biblical, unbiblical, and extra-biblical. That just simply means some things are unbiblical, like sodomy is unbiblical, having a concubine is unbiblical, and on and on. And some things are biblical, like soul winning is biblical, amen? And going to church, at a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, that's biblical. And yet, there are some things that are extra-biblical, like meeting on Wednesday night for prayer meeting. Well, yeah, we're supposed to meet for prayer, but Wednesday night, that's extra-biblical. And there are other things that are extra-biblical that we may do in our church. It doesn't mean it's unbiblical. It doesn't mean it's legalistic or wrong to do, as long as we explain this is extra biblical. It is not the law of God. And we don't do it in a way that would help us to break God's law like the Pharisees did. They did things like that. So things that are extra biblical that may be required for leadership, we wear ties up here. He's got a tie. I've got a tie. That's something we require for the platform. It's extra biblical. Although it is biblical to give your best to God. Yeah, amen. Right. To give your best to God. And so that's important, and it's based on a principle. But I'm just saying that people give you words for the birds. They attack you as being legalistic. And what is happening in our culture is we're just getting farther and farther away from God. And so tonight I would like to take the law of God and relate it to a specific subject in the Bible. And we're going to look at some of these things because I believe there are so many churches and so many people today that they are not practicing the Word of God. And therefore, they're not fundamentalists, because fundamentalists believe that this book right here is to be read, it's to be believed, and it is to be practiced in your life. And I'm not going to say as soon as you get saved, you're going to do everything that's in this book or everything I preach or teach. And I've said it. We have people in this church that what I preach, they believe and they practice it gladly. We have other people in this church that what I preach, they have not necessarily seen it themselves in the Word of God, but they say our pastor believes it. And I believe he's a mature man of God. And so someday I may see this, so I'm going to follow his convictions. There are other people in this church, they hear what I believe, and they see I believe it. They don't believe it, nor do they intend to practice it. But they say, I like the way he says it. I like that he believes something. I like a man of God that believes something. And you know what? Any of these people are welcome in our church. But I want to say, to be a leader, there are certain things that are required, like deacon requirements in the Bible. You've just studied that. There are requirements for a deacon. Every deacon must be that, as far as it's a pattern in his life, these things. And every pastor must be what it says in the Bible. But you as a Christian should be like those requirements of a deacon. And so it's something to shoot for. And the Bible even says, Jesus said, they that do the Bible and teach the Bible, well, that's true too, will know the doctrine. And that's true, you do it, but they'll be great in the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
Those are the people that will bring it. So even the Lord said they will be the leaders in the kingdom of heaven. And so I don't want to get in by the skin of my teeth, so to speak. I want to be a somebody that has a rich entrance into the kingdom. So I want to encourage you to resist words for the birds. And tonight, I want to look at resisting words for the birds by studying God's moral law concerning the subject of nakedness. Concerning the subject of nakedness. And my message tonight, fourth message, is God's Bible standard on nakedness. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. What many Christians are doing is they are not following the Bible when it comes to standards. They are following the world, but they're lagging behind 10 or 20 years to look respectable so that we will still look different than the world. Well, God doesn't just want you to be different than the world, although he does, but God wants you to have his standard of how you're to live your life. And we're talking tonight what God's standard is, or the Bible standard is, concerning nakedness. And let me say this, that God has a reason for this. God has a reason for teaching this. He wants your heart to be pure. He doesn't want your heart to be filled with all kinds of impurity. That is not his will for his people. And so this subject of God's standard for nakedness helps to promote you as a person that can have a pure heart. And that's why it's very important. And so God does not want your heart to be impure. By the way, that's why a very godly man by the name of Job, he said in Job chapter 31 in verse 1, Job chapter 31 in verse 1, a great statement. I've preached on this statement before, but you know what? You would do well, and I'm especially talking to men tonight because Job was a man. And here's what Job said in Job 31:1. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? In other words, he's talking about, I made a covenant with my eyes. It's a pledge. It's a promise, a sacred promise, a vow, if you will. And I am not going to look upon a maid. Now, of course, when he said that, we know he meant in a lustful way. We know he meant that. But I'm saying tonight that it's very important that men make a covenant with their eyes. It's also very important with ladies that they make a covenant with God concerning not exposing their nakedness. And that's why Jesus put it this way in the Bible. He said in Matthew 5:28, he said that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Do you notice two words there? This is in Matthew 5:28. Matthew 5:28. You notice two words there? It says, Brother Matthew, he's committed adultery with her. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that when a man commits adultery with his eyes, and men do that a lot when they're in sin, that a woman can participate with him in that? You say, well, how can she participate with him in that? Well, by exposing her nakedness. Exposing her nakedness, because that encourages that look, that lustful look. And that lustful look causes him to commit adultery in his heart, have impurity in his heart and sin. But he does it with her help. With her. Don't miss that. And that's what we're preaching on, that side of it tonight, really, on exposing your nakedness. Now, we are living in a pornographic time. Would you not agree? And there is a lot of pornography going on the internet, and it is clickbait, and it's to make money. And it's to sell nakedness and to make money off it. And people are plugged into all kind of profit, you know, to do that. But that very thing, that exposing nakedness, stirs up lust and it leads to an addiction. And by the way, that addiction will spoil the relationship that God set up between a husband and wife. To be blessed of God. That thing will spoil that wonderful gift of the marriage relationship between a man and a woman. It will spoil it. It will ruin it. It is Satan's way to destroy that gift from Almighty God. And so we need to guard this whole area of exposing nakedness. I think of what David said when it came to this thing of looking at nakedness. In Psalm 101 verse 3, David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Job said, I'll make a covenant with my eyes. David said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Listen, how about you this week? Have you set something wicked before your eyes? If you look through the whole week, can you say, I'm clean, I'm pure, I've avoided that? I'm saying, sadly, using technology, our culture is full of people, mainly women, but also men, uncovering one's nakedness to stir up lust, impure thoughts. And that leads to these addictions that corrupt people. and they get financial profit from it. So I want to preach tonight from the Bible, God's standard concerning nakedness. And we're still in the summertime, so it's a good time to remind ourselves of this. And I want to give a number of points. First of all, God says that nakedness is to expose your thigh. Point number one, God says, listen, that nakedness is to expose your thigh. And here's what it says in Exodus 28:42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs shall they reach. Now, I have seen pictures of the high priest's garment, and they're developing them in Israel right now. And this description in Exodus chapter 28, notice that verse 42 is from the loins, the waist, of course, that these shorts shall reach, to the thighs, which is defined as the bottom of the knee. These shall cover the nakedness. In other words, God's standard is that not only if you expose your loins, but if you expose your thighs, you are uncovering your nakedness. So let me just say this. God's standard is that you are to cover your thighs, except for a wife to a husband or a husband to a wife. You're not to expose your nakedness. That means you're not to uncover, according to God's word, your thighs. Not only that, but in Isaiah chapter 47, verses 2 and 3, here's what God says. I'll read it. Isaiah 47, 2 and 3, just part of the verse. It says, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. God says over in Exodus 28, 42 and Isaiah 47, 2 and 3, that the uncovering of the thigh is nakedness. Now, is that part of God's moral law? Yes. Right. Is that from God's unchangeable character?
Right.
Yes. That does not change. If you are uncovering your thigh, you are uncovering your nakedness. And you're especially to guard that if you're a lady. And a man is especially to guard looking at the uncovered thighs of women. I like preachers that tell it like it is. I like fundamental, independent Baptist preachers that have hair on their chest but don't show it. I like that. And they say, like Jack Hiles used to say in a message, he said, when men see the naked thighs of women, they have evil thoughts. And our men are saying amen because they all know it's true. Now, some men are too chicken to say it. They're too afraid. They're too, But I remember Brother Hiles said that a woman got so mad when he preached that, and she raced down to his office, and she had her 6'5" husband with her named George. And they got in front of him, and she said, I'll have you know my husband is not like that. He doesn't think like that. He doesn't have those evil. What kind of a pervert are you? And Brother Hiles said, well, George, what about it? And George didn't say a word. She said, George, yeah, what about it? He's like, he wouldn't speak. But he knew that what the Word of God says is true. And by the way, when you think about that, then we know that mini skirts that show the knees and above the knees, they're not of God. They're against God. You say, but all these people do it. I don't care who does it. I don't care if your mother does it, your grandmother does it. I don't care who does it. God says it's wrong. The uncovering of the thigh is nakedness. Mini skirts like that are ungodly and against God. I remember when I was a kid, the girls, I was in about fourth grade. I remember we were out at recess and the girls would all wear skirts, you know, and they would go Japanese and they'd take their eyes, these fourth grade girls, it was third grade. I remember it. Third or fourth, I don't know. They'd take their eyes and they'd pull them up. They'd go Japanese, you know, the Asian eyes, Chinese. And then they'd swish their skirts and pull up and show their knees and say American knees. And the boys would go, ooh. I'm just saying, God's standards don't expose the thighs. And, you know, that rules out most shorts, unless the shorts cover the knees. I have shorts that cover the knees, but that's God's standard, just like these men in the Bible wore them in Exodus 28:42. By the way, God's standards rule out most bathing suits today. And you say, wow, it's all right if I'm swimming. Well, if you wear panties and a bra in public, is that all right? Well, if you put polka dots on it and dig a hole in the ground, put some water in it, throw some sand around, then it's all right to wear panties and a bra. No, it's not. No, it's not. I said, no, it's not. And so a pseudo-fundamentalist won't go by this, but a real fundamentalist will preach it and will practice it, and you won't regret it, my friend. It's the old path, Jeremiah 6:16, but it's the good way.
Amen.
It's the good way. And America is no longer good, so America is no longer great.
Right.
Make America great again, Donald Trump? Well, let's have some, if he gets in there, let's have some more fundamental churches. Amen. Yeah. That's what will make America great. God says that nakedness is to expose the thigh. Number two, God says that nakedness is to expose your chest and your belly. God says that nakedness is to expose your chest and your belly. You ever seen those Buddhas in those restaurants? You ever rub the belly when you go? God says that that's the case. Now, it's John 21 and verse number 7. We're going to go to John chapter 21 in the New Testament now in verse number 7. And I'll read it and you follow along in your copy of God's Word. It says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now let's use some common sense here. Peter was a fisherman. He had backslidden and gone back to his fishing business, and he took disciples with him. I don't believe for a moment that Peter had no lick of clothes on him at all. It just talks about his fisher's coat. I don't believe that he had no clothes on at all, and he was doing his professional fishing there naked with his disciples. No, but what he says there is that he girt his fisher's coat about him. Now, what is that fisher's coat? It would be like a shirt that would cover his top. And Peter, when he was out there fishing, he didn't think about it. He just had no shirt on. He went shirtless. He didn't have a coat to cover his top. He was there. And sometimes they'd wear that fisher coat, you know, but he didn't want to do it. He wanted more freedom of action. So he just took it all off. And but when John said, oh, it's the Lord, suddenly he didn't feel right about his bare chest, his bare back. And he put that coat around him. And he jumped into the sea to go see the Lord with that coat on him, covering his top. So I'm just saying, it says he was naked. That means if you show your top, girls, you're naked. Show your cleavage, you're naked. Show your bare back, you're naked. Show your belly. How many have seen these things with the belly showing? And usually something in the belly button, like a pin or something like that. You girls ever wanted to wear a pin in your belly button? That's nakedness.
Yep.
That's not to be exposed. And it is to incite impure thoughts. By the way, what's good for the goose is also, or what's good for the gander is also good for the goose. A guy shouldn't wear a bare chest. I remember when I was a younger Christian, went into a church in Florida, and the pastor had to rebuke me because I had my buttons open on the top and the hairy chest out there a little bit, you know. He had to rebuke me, and I took it. I remembered that. Amen. I remember that. It was good for him to say that to me. And I'm saying it to you from the pulpit. If you, I was about 20, 28 years old. If you're doing that, you're exposing your nakedness. So really, when you sum it all up, God's standard is, if you expose your thighs, that is your knees up, and your belly, and your chest, and your bare back, you're exposing your nakedness. And God's standard is what we ought to follow, not man's standard. But I want to say a third thing. And thirdly, God says that your being around your family is no excuse for exposing your nakedness. Let me say that again. Your being around your family is no excuse for exposing your nakedness. You ever heard of incest? Here's what the Bible says in Leviticus 18 at verse 6. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness, for I am the Lord. So therefore, you need to put some clothes on when you're around your children. You need to put your clothes on when you're around your brothers and sisters. You need to keep your clothes on. And I will not go into detail, but I've been a pastor for 46 years, and I've seen some crazy things, and it starts right here. It starts right here. And what a crazy thing that is. I heard of a guy that literally drilled a hole in the wall of his teenage daughter's room and would have his eye looking through that hole, father, in his teenage daughter's room. I could go on and on. Brother and sister, I could go on and on. I won't do it. But I will say to you, don't think you're smarter than God. God has his standards, and you read Leviticus 18 and what God says about family relationships and how we need to uphold the standards even in the family. I remember one time I went to a fundamental camp, and they had no mixed nudity for swimming in the pool. They had it set up so, you know, you wouldn't have mixed nudity, guys and girls and so forth and so on. But I remember that they had a family time and the family could have mixed nudity, really, in the swimming. It's supposed to be a fundamental camp, but they were fundamentally wrong, biblically. And they should have known better. You know better if you know the Word of God. And so God's standard on nakedness: first, nakedness is to expose the thigh. Second, nakedness is exposing your chest, your bare back, your belly. Thirdly, God says that your being around your family is no excuse for exposing your nakedness. Number four, your sex does not give you an excuse to be naked. Now, I do agree that men tend more to have a problem with the eyes, and women tend to have more of a problem with playing to that and exposing that and getting attention for that and so forth and so on. But nevertheless, God says it holds true no matter what your sex is. And if you read Leviticus 18, 6 through 19, God's command is for decent clothing that properly covers both men and women. And so your sex is no excuse for a guy to show his bare chest, to show his thighs, and so on and so forth. And you need to follow that. I remember when I studied this out, I was saved for a long time. I saw this, and I got convicted of this, and I changed. I changed, especially when it came to the top, the shirt. And I want to just say to you that a growing Christian is a changing Christian. A growing Christian is a changing Christian. A backsliding Christian is a changing Christian too. And a backsliding church is a change. And by the way, I hope you'll blow the whistle on yourself if you're a leader and you're not following the standards of God. Now, I want to say that not only that, but you should train your boys and girls at an early age also to cover their nakedness. And while they're on family vacations or family time together, it's the time to train little boys and little girls how to cover their nakedness, how to dress properly. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. You're going to have all kind of fun. But do it God's way. Just do it God's way. Have good, clean fun God's way. And by the way, we should be holding up the standard for the world, you know, how to do it. All right. Number five. Revealing your nakedness causes shame. Isaiah 47:3 says, "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen." Nakedness leads to shame. First of all, exposing nakedness stirs up lust, and I know this is unpopular. There are people that say today, "Oh no, the sin of rape is a sin of power." Balderdash. The sin of rape is a sin of lust. The sin of rape is mainly a sin of lust. Do not listen to this cycle babble. And it's stirred up by the exposing of nakedness. And there are people that look at pornography and they're just, they have what the Bible said, eyes that are full of what? Yell it out if you know it. Eyes, having eyes full of what? Adultery. Eyes full of adultery. That's what the Apostle Peter said. It is so stirred up, they are so hyped up with lust that they're a rape waiting to happen. Their minds are so perverse and so messed up, and it is in this wicked culture that stirs this stuff up. And for your own protection and for your own not being put to shame, do not uncover your nakedness. I have known of girls, they were shocked when they were drinking with guys, shocked when they were immodest, shocked when they were unchaperoned, and suddenly some guy took advantage of them, and they were like, "Ah, I can't believe it." Believe it. Believe it. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. And the Bible says, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked to their shame among their enemies. Boy, I would be ashamed if I were a pastor that made my ladies naked by the way I preached. There are preachers, they have church picnics, and women come in halter tops and short shorts, and they're Bible-believing preachers, and they are out there, or they have a beach party, and all the girls are dressed in panties and a bra with polka dots or colored or whatever, and they're out there swimming, and they're promoting. That's to their shame. And it's to the shame of God's people. You know, the closer a people get to God, the more clothes they put on.
Right.
Our early pilgrim fathers, when they came here, they were dressed to the nines, and the Native Americans or the American Indians, they were pagans, they were naked. Now you got Americans naked, and they're putting gauging in their ears and things in their nose and looking like pagans look. Because they've gotten away from God. Tattooed all over. What a shame. What a shame. And I know you probably heard of this. I went to New York City. I saw some people. They looked like they were dressed, I thought, at first. They had not a stitch of clothing on. They were tattooed. The clothing was a big tattoo. How shameful. How shameful that we live in this kind of culture. Your nakedness causes you shame and will bring you down to shame. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But sin is a what? Reproach. What's a reproach? Public shame to any people. And that's where our country is. God, help us to uphold the standard of the Word of God. Amen. Number six, you're looking at nakedness will lead you into lust and impurity.
Right.
You're looking at nakedness will lead you into lust and impurity. And so much of that is going on in America today. Even couples doing that today. How ungodly, how wrong, how wicked. The Bible teaches that your eyes and what you look at will affect your heart.
Right.
We mentioned David, and he said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. But one day, without even expecting it would happen, he looked at a young wife of one of his soldiers who was naked bathing, and boom, it set off lust that led to terrible sin and death in his family and suffering in his family and so much pain and so much grief. Listen, maybe God has been merciful to you. Don't build a doctrine on that mercy, because exposing nakedness and looking at nakedness will lead to lust and impurity in your life. And finally and lastly, you should avoid the improper clothing of the Laodicean type church. You know, I believe the book of Revelation, and I do believe that there are successive churches in the history of the church age, and starting with the church at Ephesus that lost its first love or left its first love, and going on to the suffering church of Sardis Smyrna, and going on there through the church era. And then you come to the Philadelphian church, which I believe was prevalent in the 1700s, in the 1800s, the great missionary outreach church. But as of 1900s, the 20th century and the 21st century, we are now in the Laodicean era. And notice what it says in Revelation 3:18. I believe this is speaking about the spiritual clothing, but it relates also to the physical clothing. They go together. And God says to the Laodicean church, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. I submit to you that Laodicean Christianity and people that have a Laodicean mindset, they expose their nakedness. They expose their thighs. They expose their cleavage. They expose their backs. They expose their nakedness, you see. And they do not cover it up. And it's not preached against because, oh, I don't want to offend anybody. How about not offending God?
Amen.
How about not offending Jesus Christ? How about not offending the Word of God? And listen, I am humbly saying this to you. I've had to learn these things in my life. Learn and live. Don't live and learn. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust. Flee also youthful lust. Learn to cover your nakedness. Learn by God's grace to make a covenant with your eyes. And God will bless you, and He'll give you the best blessings, and your children and your grandchildren. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. We've been talking about God's standard of nakedness.